listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 97 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by SB Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland alongside Nate Olson, and it's Thanksgiving week, which means Class 3 and 4A are in the quarterfinal round of the playoffs, while 2A, along with Classes 5A through 7A, will have their semifinal matchups for the right to play at War Memorial Stadium the first week of December. And Nate, it's another great, or we just got past another great week of playoff games, and I covered a really fun one that we'll discuss here in a bit, and really excited for this week as not only we get to pig out on Thursday and enjoy some football, not that we've not had enough football all year, but, you know, we still got a good bit left overall, but going to have the Thanksgiving holiday, some time with family, but also more great playoff matchups on the horizon.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is an awesome week because if you're practicing on Thanksgiving, it's special. And there's several teams that are doing that. That's always a cool tradition for those that are able to do it. And for the rest of us, it's a time to give thanks and enjoy time with your family. And then on Friday, you've got a game. So it's a pretty awesome week to be covering high school football.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to be playing all 3 years of my varsity years during Thanksgiving week. Now, the junior year was not very fun because we got run by Warren 42-0 in the quarterfinals that season. But other than that, it always went pretty well. But like you said, it's always really great to be practicing this time of year. Obviously, as you look at the brackets, there's not a lot of teams left. So, of course, we're getting out of the wire, so that's not uncommon. That's what you're going to have. But we'll start it right at the top in Class 7A. We felt like the Fayetteville-Southside game, Nate, was going to be a close one. That's one that we really highlighted last week going into the 7A quarterfinals. But Fayetteville does survive Southside 30-24 to clinch their second semifinal berth in the past 3 years. Drake Lindsay, the Minnesota commit, 26 of 34 for 306 yards, two touchdowns. And also Arkansas baseball commit Jason Delamar caught 11 of those passes for 139 yards. And Bentonville Cabot, this was much different than last year's. There was a defensive battle, but Bentonville was just too much for Cabot. 42-14, the Tigers prevail. Cabot, they really struggled on offense all season, and they were just not able to match the firepower of Bentonville. And then Bryant put up over, there was a lot of offense in this game, close to 1,000 total yards, but Bryant put up over 500 yards of offense, over 300 of that on the ground. Myron Thrash, 140 yards, three touchdowns. He's really come on since the absence of Daniel, Daniel Anderson. And also, of course, we know who James Martin is, 140 yards and a touchdown. And then also Jordan Walker had four touchdowns, two of those to Carter Ratliff, who's had two big back-to-back games, of course, against not only Rogers but Conway. And then speaking of Conway, they defeated Bentonville West 63-46. West actually led 21-14 after, I believe it was the first quarter, but Conway took, the first quarter, Conway took a 35-31 lead into half, never relinquished it. Actually ran away with it in the third quarter. Donovan Amolo, 27 of 35 for 394 yards. Desmond Davidson, 20 carries, 130 yards and three touchdowns. And also Chris O'Neill, the star top target, 11 receptions for 150 yards and four touchdowns. And Nate, kind of some of the stuff that I took out of this, I just went through all four of those games. I'll get your thoughts on those. And really the two that stuck out to me, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Southside, it was pretty much exactly what we predicted. Also, though, you got to point out it was definitely low scoring. We thought that it was going to be close, but maybe more so like a 55-50 kind of close, not 30-24 like it was. So that one, and then along with the Rogers, well, both the Conway, Bentonville West, and then Rogers Bryant, we talked about those two games, the defenses really needing to step up. You thought that Conway and Bryant would do that, but both West and Rogers, as the offenses from the 7A West have done this year, did a great job.
Yeah, they did. I don't know that Bryant was ever in doubt of losing that, although, you know, I think Rogers closed within 10 in the second half late. but then responded again. You know, with Dane Williams and Jacob Jenkins, and it's not a huge shame to give up some points to them. And it's a good offense, but it seems to be hard for anybody to stop Bryant's running game, and that is a big deal because can really help them to control when a game is close like that. They can get the ball and then chew up clock and score, and it's real demoralizing. That's what they were able to do. I hit on some games this week, and I lost big on some in my predictions. And one of them, Cabot. You know, I that was my one of my upsets at Bentonville, and a little thing called the combination of Carter Nye and C.J. Brown caught me there. And I mean they've been playing so well, but I did think that Cabot could neutralize them, but no, they couldn't do that. And you know, then their offense, Cabot's offense is still, you know, it's gotten better, but not able to withstand something like that. They really need their defense to be able to put the clamps down on them and then try to keep it a close game. They couldn't do it. So it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, if Bryant can do that. I'm a little more confident in their defense, but yeah, those were some of the takeaways. We thought Southside would play them close. I think they're playing their best. They were playing their best football of the year right now, Southside. And I knew they weren't going to be afraid. And, you know, I think they were down 30-10 with like 5 minutes left or a little more than that, and then closed the gap, and where they had the ball and an opportunity for a go-ahead score. You know, Matt Jones, the play-by-play voice, also, you know him from WholeHogSports.com. He calls our call-in show and said, man, it was real – all of a sudden, you know, thought the game's over. You're ready to think about moving on, and then the next thing you know, you're fighting for your life on a final drive that, you know, they could take the lead on, but late in the game. But Fayetteville's defense stepped up there, and that they've been pretty good at that all year long, and is, you know – maybe bend but don't break type of thing. So some interesting games, maybe even a little more interesting than we thought. And yeah, but I really thought Cabot was going to beat Bentonville, but Bentonville's a good team. They're well coached, and now they're within the game of going to the state championship.
Then you got the matchups this week, both actually rematches of last year. Conway going to Fayetteville, which Conway beat Fayetteville 37-0 in the quarterfinals last year. And then we all know what happened with Bryant and Bentonville in the state championship. Bentonville gets that fumble recovery, scores a touchdown, thinking, hey, we're going to have a game on our hands. Going to be the second 7A West team in as many years to really stick with Bryant, as we saw Fayetteville do in 2021. But after that, it was all Hornets. They just could not do anything wrong, rolled over Bentonville. Nate, I look at these two matchups this week. I think that I definitely like Conway-Fayetteville a lot more, just as far as an overall, just maybe closer matchup. But not to give any super big bulletin board material, but you talked about the rushing attack in particular of Bryant. And we're seeing now, we've talked about their depth all season, the way that they've been able, the way that they can go really two and three deep. I mean, Myron Thrash is putting up consistent 100-yard games, putting up consistent – really good games for them, and he was their third running. But now Quad Sanders did talk a lot about him in the preseason, but still, yeah, that's their third running back between James Martin, Daniel Anderson, and now that's not necessarily saying he's the third best. He was just RB3 on the depth chart. We've seen what he can do, but it doesn't stop with him, certainly. And look, Bentonville, you got to give them their due credit. They've got a lot of talent as well. You talked about Carter Nye, C.J. Brown. We talked about them all season. They've also got Christian Battles. He's also really good in the backfield. Luke Kuhn, really like him at receiver, like some of the things about their defense. But, Nate, they're going into hostile territory. I know that they don't have – Bryant may not have that long streak anymore, but they still are the five-time defending champions. And it's just going to be really tough to go for anybody to go into their house and beat them in the postseason. Conway-Fayetteville, I do like that matchup a little bit more. Like I said, I think Conway goes up to Fayetteville, comes out on top, kind of the opposite. Maybe in sort of a way that comes out in their favor as opposed to 2021 when they lost on a field goal to Fayetteville. So I do kind of feel like that we could I have a strong feeling, actually, that we could have a Conway Bryant part two like we all expected that would possibly be.
Mm-hmm. Agree with you on all those counts. Bentonville, they're a good team. I don't think this is a great team, and I don't think that this team is as good as last year's. And you saw what happened in the championship game. I think Bryant's able to do what Cavett couldn't, and that is to slow down Nye and CJ Brown. There's no Ficklin in the backfield, and I know you mentioned the running back that they have now. But I'm not sure that he can take the game over like they need him to do that, or that Kuhn can take the game over if they're able to neutralize CJ Brown. So I think Bryant's too good on defense to have to beat them. I think you've got to have different components, different weapons, and maybe not rely on somebody too much. That's not to say that Brown's not great, but I think they have a defensive guru as a head coach, and they've got lots of talent on defense. So I think they're going to be able to neutralize that. And I don't think anybody's going to be able to stop Bentonville's not, or anybody, the running game. And, Daniel Anderson is back. He played. He's been out for, I think, 6 weeks since the Northside game.
So he did come back now?
He came back. Okay. Gotcha. The way I understand it was some limited action, but you know what they're trying to do there. It's just easing him back in so that he can be ready for this week and possibly the championship game.
And when you're a team like Bryant, you can afford to do that.
You can do that. Yeah, exactly. So I think he was inserted in there to see how he could go and get his feet wet a little bit. When you've got Thrash as the backup running back, you don't need him to do a lot, but imagine if all three of those guys are running all cylinders. I mean, and then you've got Curtis Jones, the fourth guy who has run for over 100 yards against Southwest. So we knew in July. I mean, and think about this. I mean, you lose James Martin next year, but you still got the other three returning. So not much is going to change next year. I mean,
that's been a common theme to have either three or yeah. Yeah, that's been a pretty common thing for them. Well, I was just going to say that's been a pretty common theme for them to have two or three, certainly two, but in a lot of times three throughout this whole entire dynasty.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's a couple of sophomores that will be coming up too, that were ninth graders this year that will add some depth next year. And then some sophomores this year that we haven't talked about yet that will play next year too. I mean, the cupboard is going to be stocked for a while at running back. So that's pretty amazing. That whole situation and the way Martin is run, he really hasn't need much help, but they are able to give him some breathers, which is good. But he's really done a fantastic job. He's made some big plays when they really need it. Against Cavett, he ran 90 yards for a touchdown late in the ball game after a fourth down stop and pretty much put that game on ice then. So, I think they're too much in offensively for a lot of teams to handle with the running game. They can pass it to Walker had a big game the other night. So it's just, they can hurt you in many ways. And then their defense is very dominant and they get a lot of takeaways and their units really kind of work together. They can get a lead and keep it and make big plays. So, they're playing outstanding. And Conway, I think the difference in this game is going to be Buck James. We've talked about that. Casey Dick has been in some big games, but think Buck's going to dial up a few things in this one. And just his presence and, the fact that he's been to the championship and won five of them, I think that really helps him. And this is the game that I envision this being is the Rodgers game where Rodgers had the ball after that muffed punt snap, the snap went way over the guy's head, the punter's head, into Rodgers' territory. I mean, they basically had it set up on a silver platter. They had, it was like on their 25, on the Fayetteville 25 or something, with 2 minutes left. And Rodgers had scored about every time they had the ball the second half. So, I mean, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that they were going to score. And the only thing that was, you know, left chance was how much time is going to be on the clock. You know, would they score quickly or could they? And they were going to try to run the ball, you know, and take their time in scoring. And they fumbled it. And Fayetteville took over and then ran the clock out. But that's the kind of game it was 42-37 was the final. And I could see that being so it comes down to the fourth quarter and a possession at the end on who gets a stop there, you know, and whose defense is going to be better, who can make a play, and who's going to make a mistake. That's, I think they both can both score on each other and they will score at will, but it's going to come down to the very end on who makes that stop or who makes, you know, a 30-yard field goal or whatever. But I give the edge to Conway, even though it's at home. I've also heard some rumblings that this game may be pushed back a little bit on Friday because of the Razorback game. So keep an eye on that. I don't know if that's going to happen. But they've made moves like that before. And that Razorback game starts at 1:30. So I don't know if they will push it back some to accommodate parking and all that.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that being not only on the same day, but gosh, man, pretty much overlapping, at least as far as when people start filling into Fayetteville Stadium with that being so close. Yeah. Really good point there.
And there's a lot of, you know, parking, a lot of Razorback. I think fans park over on the Fayetteville campus. So I haven't heard an official word on that, but I've heard, and I think they've done that before, I believe. They've moved it back.
I know they've done games before. Yeah, I can't remember if it was like, you know, a play. It's probably been a playoff game typically for the Mizzou because, or I guess used to be LSU that used to be at War Memorial. But yeah, it's definitely happened before, especially with the two being so close. But
keep an eye on that though, and we'll get word out if it does happen. But if you're planning to go to that game or fan of either one of those teams, just If there is an announcement, it'll be out probably early in the week before the holiday, I imagine. So,
and then down in Class 6A, Benton 62-21 over Greenbrier. They did not, you know, I mentioned the Panthers. Are we going to see the team that came out last year in the playoffs firing in all cylinders off their bye week as a 2 seed? Or would we see maybe what we saw in 2021 when they were the 6A West top seed and came off the bye and really just were shocked by Marion? Benton just looks like the same team that we've seen all year. Just an offensive power, pretty solid defensive squad as well. Also, Little Rock Christian, 52-28, big over Van Buren. And then also Greenwood, really big over Mountain Home, 56-14. And the one that we're going to talk about a little bit more at length here, of course, we'll talk about the matchups and everything, but Nate, I went on with John Neighbors and Joe Franklin on Out of Bounds on Friday, and I talked about this being a game that I felt like PA was going to go in as a lower seed, something they're not used to, that they were going to go all the way to Northeast Arkansas. They were going to win this game by 10 to 14 points. I just felt that way because even though I've liked Marion all year, I just wasn't sure how they were going to do under the extremely bright lights. You look at – and you really have to put – The Benton game is a mulligan because, as I just said, Benton is really just thumping everybody right now. We'll see if that continues against Little Rock Christian this week. But I just really, especially with how Week 10 went with Catholic where they dropped that game, I just wasn't really 100% confident in Marion. And I got to give it to them, even though they lost this game. I mean, it was a last-second Hail Mary. They were right there for the win. They still proved me wrong on that. Marion showed up. They played a great game. Both of these two teams, I think, would probably tell you that there was plenty of things that they could have, that each of them could have done differently. But definitely got to tip my hat to Marion, but also too, really got to tip your hat to Pulaski Academy. They have had two walk-off wins, Nate. You look at this team over the 21st century, the most decorated team of the 21st century. When you think about all the state title appearances, all the conference championships, all the state championships, all the win streaks, you put all that out there, you can never count this Pulaski Academy team out. And they had that walk-off field goal against, what was it, 40 yards against Madison Ridgeland in week one or two, whenever it was. And then they had a walk-off win the other night, too. This was a pass from Brandon Cobb to Andrew Fizer. I'll let the PA Live guys tell it. It sounded a little something like this.
They'd be. They still have this one safety. Here we go. There's last play.
Looking to pass. Going deep.
Yeah. Oh! Oh my gosh! Touchdown!
Touchdown,
Bruins! He
caught it! His left. No flags on the play. The game is over. Oh! The Bruins are going to Greenwood.
Oh my God! Woo! On a last second play. They'd be there.
Appreciate PA Live again for that feed. That was Blake Amsler and Josh Carroll on the call, and they have probably don't have a voice much, I would say, probably by the time at the time we're recording this late Sunday night, probably still just getting their voices back. But awesome game again there, Nate, just the way the finish there. You know, Andrew Fizer has really been a guy that stepped up for this team. There's been a lot of receivers that have been asked to step up for the Bruins, especially with John Mark. You had the graduation of Jalen McKinney, Tyson McCarroll, and you bring back John Mark Charette, but he's been out for pretty much the whole entire year with an injury. You got guys like him, Will Sabota, Walden Culpepper, that guys that have just really stepped up, and Andrew Fizer has kind of been that security blanket for the Bruins this year. Look, they've got a tough one against Greenwood, but, you know, last year, Greenwood won the regular season matchup, and then PA won the championship. Look, they met in the championship game last year, and PA's going to a very as hostile of an environment as there is in the state right now at Smith Robinson Stadium, where Greenwood has a 61 game win streak. But you just can't ever count these Bruins out.
No. And that starts, you know, with the coaching staff and goes down. You know, they've had, you know, a couple, haven't even, you know, they've lost two games. So, I mean, that's a great season for most programs.
To semifinal teams.
Yep, that's right. And the one to Christian was really hard to swallow, but, you know, I saw Jason Wyatt like 2 days after that game, and they were already turning the page. I mean, they what are you going to do? I mean, you can't go back. They know they didn't play well that night, and Little Rock Christian played good, but they still had the rest of the season to play out. And they fought very hard against Greenwood. You know, that was a 3-point game early in the third quarter after that onside kick.
Yeah. Three interceptions just did them in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm sure that they feel in their heart of hearts. I mean, there's been a lot of people that have written them off because even though they've lost two games, they lost that one in lopsided fashion. People are like, well, they go down to Lake Hamilton and barely win against the Lake Hamilton team that's really down on their luck this year. Don't play well there against El Dorado in the first half. Don't play extremely well. Then they're able to kind of run past them in the second half. But, that whole game was just not impressive either. But winning at Marion's huge. I mean, Marion's a good team. Talented, and to win like that at the end, they feel like they can go to Greenwood and win. That's the PA mentality. That is the way it's been for years. I mean, they're two-time state champs under Coach Lucas, under Anthony Lucas. A lot of those guys that are playing that championship game last year, they feel like there's a chance. They needed to get past this game. It's kind of like, you know, now if they go to Greenwood and lose the semifinals, especially if Greenwood wins the championship, there's not a lot of, you know, shame in that. I think losing in the quarterfinals, that would really have fueled some of the criticism from some of the people, the program's down and that kind of thing. Well, getting to the semifinals is, I know PA is used to championships, but you've had a good year if you're practicing on Thanksgiving. There's a big difference between losing that game at Marion and then winning it and losing that Greenwood. There's a huge difference there. So I think they feel, hey, we were able to really accomplish something by winning on the road. against higher seed, and now we've got to do it again. But I think everybody in that locker room feels like they can win. They didn't play their best against Greenwood at home. If they play the best game they can and play a little better defensively, you never know what might happen.
So you've got that matchup that never is short of any storylines with PA and Greenwood when those two meet up. And you also got Little Rock Christian and Benton. And let me forewarn everybody, don't make the mistake of saying, hey, back in mid-August, Benton just absolutely got rolled by Little Rock Christian in that scrimmage. Don't get fooled by what you saw in mid-August, and don't base anything on that. This is two totally different situations, two totally different teams from what we saw at that particular time. And, look, that happened 2 years in a row in a scrimmage, so I don't ever really buy too much stock into that. But, first of all, you get a great quarterback matchup, Auburn commit Walker White, and also, of course, Drew Davis, one of the next ones up in this state, had the sophomore phenom that's just been exceptional this year. So you've got that matchup. Then you've got a chance at possibly, and again, not to look too far ahead, you've got a chance at possibly seeing Drew Davis and Kane Archer, the two sophomore phenoms that just, again, the futures of Arkansas high school football over the next couple of years. And you've already seen Walker White and Greenwood, of course, Walker White and Kane Archer, Greenwood coming out on top of that one. But you can't lose in this one, Nate. I don't think that either one of these games is going to be lopsided. I feel like both have a chance to be extremely close. I know that's an extremely cop-out answer. But headlines galore in both of them, and plenty of things to anticipate in both of them.
Yeah, I was at that scrimmage game in August and got there a little late, and it was already like 21-0, Little Rock Christian. But, Benton does not approach those scrimmages like their games. There's really not a lot of game planning for those. That game that night, Little Rock Christian looked like they were ready to play in a championship game. They looked like it was not a dress rehearsal. This was like a regular season game. They were like ready to roll. The Benton coaches are kind of wearing t-shirts and shorts, kind of informal attire. Little Rock Christian's wearing their game. Their coaches wearing their game stuff. There was that. There was also the fact that, Drew Davis was not yet the number one quarterback. So he didn't play a lot in the first part of the game. And that was probably a difference. So nobody on Little Rock Christian's, this is the same venue, but that's about it. There, nothing else is similar to that night. Nothing. Everything's different. This is for all the marbles. Most of the marbles get to the championship. It's not a scrimmage. And, Benton is an entirely different team. What I thought was real interesting in that game was that they really held Braylon Russell in check. And then a week later, they got run over for 400 yards by Bo Williams. That was something I did not expect. But I think that was just the fact that Benton really didn't scheme for them and plan. So I think it's going to be a really good game. It's going to be interesting to see how Drew Davis squares off against, we saw Kane Archer, who is a sophomore phenom, a guy that's one of the top quarterbacks in the country in that sophomore class, really out-duel Walker White. Drew Davis is going to have a chance to do that here. And I like it that it's for them that it's at their place. Although, Little Rock Christian won't have a long way to go. I'm going to be going to that game, and I'll make sure I'm there at least 2 hours early because make sure I can get in because there will be a lot of people there. But I like Benton's defense, and, I think that they have more weapons offensively as long as Drew Davis doesn't have, a sophomore moment, which he hasn't had the whole year. I think they're going to be able to put points up on the board and be able to get back to the championship game.
Class 5A defending champion and top-ranked Parkview, 35-6 over Mills. And, Nate, as much as Parkview has dominated this year, I don't know that their defense has had quite a game like this. And think about it, this is not over just some chump team. This is Mills, an offense that's had a lot of success this season. 7 sacks, 21 quarterback hurries, had held Mills to negative 25 yards rushing and 160 passing yards. So under 150 total yards of offense. That's dang near what the Cowboys did to Bryce Young and the Panthers on, you know, and I'm not to get too excited about a win over a 1-8 team, but very similar statistics to what Micah Parsons and co and all them did. But this Parkview team, just an absolute machine. Camden Fairview, their counterparts in the 5A South, 47-30 over Southside Batesville. For the second week in a row, Camden Fairview goes on the road as the lower seed, and they'll have to do it again, of course, against top-rated Parkview. Of course, Nick Vaughn, the head coach for Camden Fairview, the former defensive coordinator for Brad Boldy, so a lot of familiarity between those two. Shiloh Christian, 42-30 over Valley View. You got to really hand it to Valley View, Nate. We really, towards the end of the season, started talking about how this team needed more respect, and I think they really showed how good they are. This game was 35-30 after three quarters. That's got to count for something, especially when you consider how great Shiloh is every single year, pretty much in the playoffs. And then also Pine Bluff, 41-28 over one of the Cinderella teams this year, Hot Springs Lakeside. So it's going to be Shiloh Christian coming down to Pine Bluff. I think that one is an incredibly great matchup. You think about Bo Williams and his running, Cole Creighton, freshman quarterback for Shiloh Christian, that started to look really good since coming off of his injury against the great athleticism. I'm interested to see that Pine Bluff D-line against this Shiloh D-line or the Shiloh offensive line. And just so many different matchups, especially with Courtney Crutchfield and Austin Dendy. What can their secondary do against those guys? So a lot of good questions that I think will be answered in really thrilling fashion in the game against Shiloh and Pine Bluff. And then, of course, you've also, like I said, got Camden Fairview at Parkview. Nate, I love what Coach Nick Vaughn has done there in 2 years. In 2 years, he's gotten them to the semifinals. So really successful start there for him and his staff. One thing about Camden Fairview, that one of the top reasons why they're here is great offensive line play, great play from his running back. Well, really converted wide receiver to running back. They like to use Trent Haygood in a lot of ways, but after over 300 yards last week, rushed for 274 and two touchdowns last Friday night. Also, too, Darrell Atkins Jr., their quarterback, I think he's really proven himself as a quality dual threat quarterback. And the defense has been pretty good too. They allow around 22 to 23 points per game. But you look at that, and it's like we say every single week, we can sit and we can point out every positive of every opponent that Parkview has. But at the end of the day, they're just a machine, and I don't think that anybody can stop them.
I watched the first half and a little bit of the third quarter. I was there. One thing that was very interesting was Mills did not hardly run the ball at all. You know, and Jeff Halperin that covered the game said that that's kind of been their MO, that they have passed a lot,
right?
But it wasn't even, you know, the running game wasn't even a threat. I mean, they ran for minus yards in the first half.
Yeah.
But I mean, they weren't even trying to. Is so I thought that was interesting because, you know, with a Bobby Bolding led defense, if they really know that you're only going to do one thing, I mean, he can pin their ears back and come after you. And that's what they did. And Eddie Ringo completed a couple passes and Akil Madison. I mean, you can tell how good they are, but it's kind of like, you know, it was 7-0 for a long time into the second quarter. Then Parkview got a couple breaks. They scored on special teams, which, you know, they do a lot on a return. They're just so athletic and fast, you know, and that kind of got them off to the races a little bit. I mean, the first half wasn't just totally impressive, but you looked up at the scoreboard, and I think it was 28-7 at the half, or 21. I think it was 28-7. But it was like it was a very quiet first half, really. But there was a few plays that they made, and that was a difference. And Mills never really threatened offensively. They couldn't get you know, points on the board. So, but the Camden Fairview, I know they got beat pretty handily at home, but you do kind of wonder now, if Haygood running like he is, can they put together something offensively that will give Parkview some problems? I mean, can their running game, the way it's been going right now, is that going to be effective, and can it open up the passing game? But The thing is, Bobby Bowling, the defensive coordinator, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He won the Broyles Award now for top assistant coach just recently, I think last week. I mean, he's a brilliant defensive mind. And so, I mean, they're going to watch the tape of this, see what Haygood's done. I mean, it's not going to surprise me if they shut him down. I mean, they've seen him before. I just think this team is too good. I don't think anybody's going to be within two touchdowns of them. I don't think this week. And Pine Bluff, I would, you know, no disrespect to Shiloh. We saw last year that, you know, what they did and they had a chance. I'd really like to see Pine Bluff play them because, you know, you could tell that Mills's athleticism did keep them in the game for a while. And I think that Pine Bluff, even though they lost to Mills, is athletic and more disciplined and maybe has a couple more game breakers, like, you know, with Crutchfield being a major Division I player that can maybe take the game over and make a big touchdown catch or run one back against them. And that could be a bit of a backbreaker. But I still don't even think with them, I mean, could be close for a while. I just, they're deep, talented. I mean, this is like a Bryant team, you know, 3 years ago when nobody touched them. And that's what I feel like I'm watching here. It's they're toying with teams and they're dominant defensively and their special teams is fantastic. The return game, you score on that too, score in all three facets of the game. So I just think that Camden's going to have some problems and I think whoever plays them in the championship game will have problems too.
Well, it is worth noting, though, I did forget to mention this. Camden Fairview hung with Parkview probably about as much as any team other than Bryant really did, because I think it was the first half they were up. I think Camden was down maybe like 7 or 14 or so. Either way, it was they played with them probably about as close as anybody did. And then as Parkview typically does, they run away with it. And that's what I was going to make the point of. You mentioned Bobby Bolding, and if there's a better defensive mind in the state than him, then I'd like to know who it is. But that's kind of a catch-22, I think, for more so for Camden Fairview, because it's like, okay, well, you did pretty well against them the first time, which was just a couple of weeks ago in Week 10, but Bobby Bolding now has – I mean, not that they didn't have the film on you before. That's what they used to watch before they played them. But now you've got all season plus your game, and he's going to be able to scheme, like you said, around Haygood, who has been really their featured back and can also is a great receiver too. So that's probably the one that they're going to do, that they're going to put the focus on, which could maybe open up something for Darrell Atkins. Who knows what could happen there? He's got a chance. I mentioned last week that Mills had a chance to do something really big. So does Camden Fairview here, but it's going to be really, really tough. So, but you got to play the game any given, in this case, any given Friday. You never know. It's Black Friday. Maybe Parkview could have a little bit too much turkey or something and wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and it could be a dark Friday for them and a really good one for Camden Fairview. You never know. But
hey, and did you also know they practice Sunday night?
I did. I saw that they posted that on Twitter, somewhere on social media. Yeah. I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if a lot of teams do that.
I think Sunday, the only time we ever practiced on a Sunday, I think it was when we just had a walkthrough for the Hoot, back when they did the Hootens kickoff classic games. I think that was the only time if we played on a Monday, we did like a walkthrough. But other than that, I don't ever recall practicing on a Sunday.
Yeah. I think that just kind of shows you, and maybe I would think they're still going to go on Thursday, but maybe that's they're starting their week early and not going to practice Thursday, but more likely it's just getting an extra workout.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. And I mean, I know, I was talking to Ryan Howard, before the, and now I can say this, you know, live now since CAC's won, but that's what he said. You know, if we're able to get past, I was talking to him Friday night before the game, and if we're able to get past this round, then that's probably what we're going to do, is maybe just not do anything on Thursday. And I think my senior year, we actually didn't do anything on Thursday because we had done it the year before, and it was just kind of like, okay, all we're doing is basically just, you know, it's just a typical walkthrough where you're just making sure you're lined up right. We've been doing this for, 13 weeks now, so if we're not doing it right now, we're probably not going to do it right in the game. So just didn't even worry about coming in that case.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're just getting an extra workout in, and you know, it's a big week, and there's no school either. So that's probably another thing too. They feel like they can get an extra workout in. You don't have to get up early tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
School.
Yeah.
I think that's smart. I mean, you know, a little surprised more teams don't do that, honestly. But I think that gives you an edge. And I think that just shows you kind of, you know, they're innovative and trying to get a, know that this is a big week. So, but I noticed that on social media on Sunday night. But they've done a great job with that program.
Yeah.
Brad, you know, he had a second chance after, you know, North Little Rock, and knew he would probably get back into coaching. And, you know, it wasn't like Parkview was tailor-made either. There wasn't a ton of success, or, you know, didn't take over something that was already built. He had to build.
Yeah, they were far removed from those 80s teams.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was, you know, gone on this historic run and to win. And, I mean, I don't see them losing for a while. I think that they can win this year, the championship. You know, I was talking to somebody today just about what they've got coming up and the talent that's there. I mean, it's the next couple years, they just keep coming in. So, I mean, they should be really good again next year.
And down in Class 4A, since we had a few more games, we'll go through all the scores real quick. Arkadelphia 22-7 over Mayflower. Rivercrest shuts out Gravette 40-0. Lumberjack slips past Bauxite, a very, very, very feisty Bauxite team, 28-21. Ozark 49-14 over Lincoln. CAC 59-50 in a shootout with Nashville. 56-6 was Elkins over Monticello. In a rematch of last year's 4A state finals, Hardy Academy prevails 58-34 over the Malvern Leopards, the defending champions. And then Ashdown, 30-28, is in a team that's kind of become the Cinderella of Class 4A for the most part. Nate, I would say Ashdown, they are, I believe, the lowest seed remaining. And, yeah, that is correct. They are a 4 seed out of the 4A7. After a 30-28 win over DeWitt, they do move on, and they will travel to Harding Academy. So, once again, I got a lot of great matchups that I really like. I look at Warren and Ozark, Nate, and, you know, Warren has been a team. They're really good, obviously. They're undefeated, and they're always good. But this has been one of those teams that they've kind of, in some ways, not so much because their games haven't been all, like, they've run away. But 2013 Florida State. Now, 2013 Florida State was a defending national champion, so maybe it's not a great comparison. But, or maybe 2014, I guess, was the team that I'm referring to. But really, just there were so many teams that they got their best effort and they were able to pull away from them. And that's kind of how it's been for Warren this year. There's so many you could point to. DeWitt, Crossett, I think Dumas was even one. Now this Bauxite game. There was so many there that they've been able to pull away. So the question has kind of remained, is they're going now, the deeper they get in the playoffs, a lot of times the better for them. We know the ability that Bo Hembree has, what kind of coach he is and what he's done for so long down in Bradley County. But this Ozark matchup I'm looking at, Ozark's got some good history in the playoffs as well, and they can sneak up and get some people. And you weren't really sure how good or not good they were because they're – I mean, other than Elkins, that conference is just – it's down. There's no question about it. But I'm looking at this matchup here, and I really like what Jeremy Burns has done at Ozark, and I think that this is good, even though they do have to travel pretty far to Warren.
Yeah. They played really well, and refresh my memory, the quarterback, he had a great week this week.
Kobe Wilbanks?
Yeah, Wilbanks, and he's had some good games throughout the year. He's a two-way guy. I think he plays linebacker too. So he's really made them go. I think they're a dangerous opponent. But Warren, they're really talented. They're a freshman quarterback in Jackson Nitton, but they've got talent all around him. But, you know, they've had a little bit of a problem this year starting off slow. But they, you know, they've turned it on the second half. And it hasn't really bitten them, you know, at all this year. They've been able to do that, but this Wilbanks could pose a little bit of a problem for them. But being at home, they're a lot like Parkview in the sense that they're just so athletic and so deep. You know, Jimmy Sledge calls in the reports each week to the call-in show, and I mean, he's talking about kind of like with Bryant, their third team running back comes in the game and scores two touchdowns. You know, on different occasions they've needed backups to come in, and they've been able to do the job. They're really talented. You don't have to, don't have to tell everybody about Bo Hembry because they know how great of a coach he is. He's been doing that since basically I came here, Central Arkansas in 01. He's been a great coach for that whole time at Warren. So they've got a championship caliber ball club. I don't think there's any question about it. And this is a big hurdle, but I think this is one they clear and they move on.
I want to give some credit to Ashdown for a second, because right now it's hard for me to pick anybody over Harding Academy in Class 4A. I think that really they have separated themselves. Maybe we've mentioned throughout the year that it was Malvern, Harding Academy, Warren, and then also who was the other? Elkins, that were probably the big four. I do think right now that Harding Academy has probably separated themselves and probably should handle Ashdown, but look, you've got to give Ashdown their due credit. October 30th, they lost to Arkadelphia 42-0. They've won their past three games, and of course they had the comeback win over Blyville in the first round, and then the victory over DeWitt, which I do think that 30-28 victory, that might have been a comeback as well, but I'm not 100%, and then draw that game at Harding Academy, but you still got to give it to Matt Richardson and co. And look, again, I'm not writing them off completely. Look, I'm not trying to give them any disrespect, but it's just – hard to imagine that it continues after this week, but regardless of what does happen, can't discredit anything what that team has done. Again, right now they are the lowest seed remaining in the playoffs. And also at the top of the bracket, Nate, to me, this is kind of in a way maybe the forgotten matchup. And I say forgotten because these two teams, other than – I know Arkadelphia is a fairly recent state champion within the last six, seven, 8 years. Won a couple under the J.R. Eldridge there. Rivercrest went to the finals in 2020. But I think we tend to forget, especially Rivercrest, we tend to forget about these two teams, especially this year with Arkadelphia, graduating all that they did, particularly on offense with Donovan Witten and all those guys. But the defense right now, they've allowed, what is it, around like 18, 19 points per game Arkadelphia has. And then you've got this Rivercrest team. So Arkadelphia, here it is right here. I got it in my notes. 19.1 points per game, and then is what they are allowing, averaging 36. Rivercrest, we know about that dynamic offense, Michael Rayner, Kobe Turner, 42 points per game, allowing just 17. So that's something about Rivercrest as well. You know, Rivercrest did give up a lot in their first two of their first three non-conference games, but, I mean, they played Mills and Valley View. So that's got to be worth something. That's two also 5A teams with really potent offenses. So I think this is a really good matchup between Arkadelphia, Rivercrest. Arkadelphia, of course, they beat Rivercrest last year 48-13 to advance to the semifinals and play Harding Academy. So I think this one has a chance of being kind of maybe one of those underrated good matchups.
I agree with you. Arkadelphia probably has more depth, but Rivercrest has a lot of athleticism, and I like the way Cade McBride's played at quarterback, moving from linebacker, taking over for Donovan Witten. Those are some huge shoes to fill, but they've really hit their stride. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks on the scoreboard show with Jeff Root, the football doctor, as we call him, and their play-by-play guy. Just they're peaking at the right time. Went 0-3, but Trey Shucker, great coach, great young coach, one of the rising stars in the coaching business, and they've played really well. I think they should win this, but Rivercrest, they are athletic, a lot of playmakers on that team. They're dangerous, but just in Arkadelphia, the way they're playing, you mentioned their defensive stats, I think they're able to control them and then move on. And And I agree with you too about Harding Academy. It was a big statement beating Malvern like they did. I mean, they kind of controlled the game for the most part. And, you know, went at home, we've got to find out what their home playoff record is. I'm going to try to make that a goal of mine this week to talk to Neil Evans and find if we can find out what their record is, or at least what it's been in the last, you know, 10 years or something. But, you know, we found out that Shiloh's was 54-3 all time. I found that out. So, and that's impressive. I would think that Harding Academies is something around there.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I can't remember very many times they would have lost there. And they're just so tough playing there. So I'm going to try to find that out. I think it's interesting to note that, but yeah, they look like a favorite. And I still like Warren a lot, and with all the athleticism they have, and Arkadelphia is playing great at the right time. I thought the 4A was going to be entertaining, and it has been. It's been very entertaining.
And finally, before we head down to 3A, I want to touch base. The CAC Nashville game ended up being just pretty much what we thought it was. Extremely high scoring, a lot of offense. There was some better, I would say, for a 59-50 game, there was much better defense than you would have expected. Some, especially from CAC, some key stops at the right times. Something that we might not have seen from the CAC defense. They did get a couple of key guys back. Deuce Williams, of course, Jacob Henry's been really good at safety for them all year. But defensively, CAC is definitely going to give up a lot. But I think that they've really played a lot better. You look at the shutout victory over Lamar in Week 10. I feel like down the stretch they have played better. And they're going to really need it this week against Elkins, the 4A1. Top seed, they come to Mustang Mountain. CAC averages 49 points per game and allows 30. Like I said, they're going to surrender a good bit, while Elkins, 55 points per game, allows just 8. So also an underrated defense there. When you got an offense that's putting up that kind of production, it's real easy to focus on that and not even look at what the defense is doing. But neither team has seen a team like they're going to see. I mean, Ozark, it was in the same conference as Elkins, really quality team, but not near what kind of fast offense, what CAC runs. I mean, there's very few, if any, maybe a handful of teams that run anything close to what CAC is, which is just like as far as the pace that they're going and how they go about their business. But two dynamic quarterbacks in this one, Nate. You got Dizzy Dean, the senior from Elkins, both of them going to play in college, of course. And then you've also got the Razorback commit, Grayson Wilson. I didn't forget his name. I was trying to clear my throat there at the time. Grayson Wilson, who had another outstanding performance, 6 total touchdowns against Nashville. It just seems like every year or every game this year that Grayson, both Grayson and Dizzy, both. I mean, they've got whether it's combined or just passing, they average anywhere from 4 to 6 touchdowns a game. I mean, just incredible quarterbacks that are leading these two offenses, but there's a lot of talent all the way around, and Nate, you got two, again, number one seeds. I believe it's actually – oh, no, I'm sorry, Rivercrest and Arkadelphia is the other one. It's one of two matchups in Class 4A this week that features top seeds.
Do you remember a few years ago when PA beat Little Rock Christian 88-66 or something like that?
Yes, I do. I was thinking San Antonio at that time, but I remember when – I don't remember the year exactly, but I remember when it happened.
Yeah, I think it was like 4 years ago. 4 or 5. I covered that game, was there with the buzz. That could be what happens with Elkins and CAC, but I think Elkins defense is really good. You mentioned, you know, they haven't seen anything like this, and that might be where they give up 35 points or 40. It won't be 66, but I think they'll be able to score a lot of points. I think they'll be able to score more than Nashville did. I mean, that's been CAC's Achilles heel is defense. We saw them. I was with you when Clinton ran all over them, and that was a difference in that game, right? You know, the defense, and so they've gotten better. But I did not know if they would beat Nashville. That was kind of one of my upset picks again. I didn't come true. And I think CAC did a good job of getting some stops when they needed it, you know, in the second half. But I'm not sure that they can go shot for shot with Elkins. And so probably more realistically, not 88-66, but like 62-35 or 62-42 or something like that. I can see, because I just don't think that CAC can stop them, you know, in the second half, you know, and go shot for shot with them. And I think it at some point, you know, Elkins will get them to, you know, stopped in back to back possessions or something. But you're right. I mean, they haven't seen anybody like Grayson Wilson. So, and they're playing on Mustang Mountain, which when you were there, that was going back to the days, and you're taking the tradition back. That was a tough place to win too, and I think that's becoming, you know, Ryan Howard's going to make it like that again. So they're in the beginning stages of that, but it, you can see it coming.
There's a possible, if CAC does win and then Harding Academy takes care of business against Ashdown, there's a chance for a CAC Harding Academy clash of Church of Christ, or Church of Christ clash is what I'm going to call it, if we do have that. And the amount of connections, Nate, I don't think we're quite ready for this. There was already a lot of connections between Nashville and CAC. I can't tell you the amount of people that I truly can't tell you. I off the top of my head, I would say it's probably anywhere from about 30 to 40 people that I talked to, whether it was one text or multiple text messages, DMs on Twitter or Facebook, phone calls that I talked to that I hadn't talked to in 15 years that I spoke with throughout last week. But Harding Academy, that's a whole different kind of connection, because you got family. You got family. You got family that's like friends, or friends that are like family. And that's going to be just, I can't even imagine. And that'll be at CAC if it does happen, because CAC has home field throughout.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll be something if it happens. And then the Elkins game, would that be at Elkins? If Elkins won?
If Elkins wins, yes, yes, yeah. So CAC's got home, they're at the top of their side of the bracket. So they've got home field throughout. And then if Elkins does get it, then they will have home field for the semifinals. Yeah.
They could play Harding Academy up there. Yeah. Well, both of those games sound really fun. Well, when you've got a Division I quarterback like Wilson, and at the 4A level, anything's possible. I do think that their defense has played better, and they've been dominant at times, even if they haven't played an offense. I mean, this will be a challenge for them, but I think they're up for it. And then defensively or offensively with Deshaun Chairs, and you've got another Chairs now. I think that's a younger brother or another relative of his. It's a running back wide receiver that's also putting up some yards now too. And they've got a lot of weapons. So they may be a little more, there may be a little bit more of a supporting cast with them that Dizzy Dean has than Wilson, but there are two really good teams playing. I think what Elkins is trying to do is to prove they're a championship caliber team. And even though CAC hasn't had a good run in a while, they probably still have, you know, that reputation. We still think of them as a football school, right? You know, still think about when you were there and championships. And so they've got a pedigree that Elkins really doesn't. And so, I mean, a lot of people see the Division I quarterback. They remember Mustang Mountain, the mystique, and probably, you know, a lot of people picking CAC to win that game. But Elkins, I think that they're really on to something special. I think that their coaching staff, a lot of those guys are Greenwood guys. They've taken that winning attitude with them. You know, Drew Morgan's on that staff, the former Razorback. And they just seem to have, you know, they're right on the cusp of maybe being a championship caliber team. So this is an intriguing matchup.
Then in Class 3A, Harding Academy. Talking about them, just Nate. One of these days, I'm gonna have a perfect one where I don't mess up a name, and it's hard to do where you don't mess up a single name. But also too, not only on messing up a name, I'm gonna get Harmony Grove, Ouachita County right the first time, whether that's calling them something different or their old name. But Harmony Grove, Ouachita County, 56-0 over Newport. We're going to revisit this here in a second. Boonville, 52-20 over Osceola. Glenrose shuts out Perryville, 37-0. Junction City, how about those Dragons, 63-50 in a shootout over Walnut Ridge on the road. And then Salem, 44-16. They remain undefeated with a win over Jesseville. Mansfield takes down previously undefeated Hoxie on a fourth down goal line stand in the final. I believe it was actually the last play of the game or one of in the waning moments of the game. 14-3. So Mansfield 14-3 over Hoxie. Then Prescott 7-6 over Fordyce. We thought that was going to be a close one. Obviously, it was major defensive battle here between two teams that are a lot of times, yes, they both play good defense, but known for offense as well, but then this one-point game. So Fordyce really been the only team, the only Class 3A team to hang with Prescott this year. And then also, last but not least, Bismarck, 35-27. They knock out the defending 3A champion, Charleston Tigers. Want to take it back to the top first, Nate, and talk about Harmony Grove, Ouachita County. This is one of those where you're not shocked that they won. It's just the margin of victory. Newport had an up-and-down season. It played much, much better down the stretch, but just could not get anything going. Great defense, probably one of the better defenses. I would I'd venture to say I've been sick all weekend, so you guys bear with me. I've done pretty good throughout the most of this. But I would venture to say that this is probably the best performance in Harmony Grove history, playoff history. If not, it's certainly up there. I mean, to do this against a team, Newport is – they got some speed. They're always a quality team. And to do that 56-0 is pretty big. Now you host in a matchup of top seeds. Now you host, and I do believe this is the only matchup of Class 3A this week, and we're really not necessarily remain. There's still some ones left, but the only ones of this week that has two top seeds facing off against each other in Boonville and Harmony Grove. We know what Boonville has, Dax Goff and Rylan Ray, what they have with that rushing attack, and they've been one of the favorites for many people all season. Harmony Grove always kind of tends to be one of those dark horses, but really has proven themselves to be a legit contender. Fantastic offense, and you know, you got Caleb Johnson at quarterback. He went over 100 career. He came in with 96 touchdowns. I believe he had three passing and two rushing, I want to say it was. But either way, he now has over 100 career touchdowns. Just a special, special player. Been doing it for 3 years. He's going to be a three-time All-State selection. So I look at what they do here. Of course, you've got that great passing attack and then also what Caleb Johnson can do on the ground. And then you've got Demarion Billingley at running back that's a quality guy out of the backfield. So this Harmony Grove team, you know, pitching a shutout like this, I think that they are a legit threat to Boonville, and they really made a statement against Newport.
Yeah, and they're playing at home, too. I mean, I think that's an advantage. I didn't know Johnson was, you know, he's a great baseball player, too.
Yeah.
And has been offered, I think, in both sports.
Kevin and I talk about him quite a bit during the spring on Prep Extra for sure, because during baseball, he's very good there.
Yeah, so really good athlete. He might be the X factor in this game. You know, being at home, a guy that you know down the stretch can make a big play when he needs to. I've been a big fan of Dax Goff, you know, since last year. Really marvel at what he does on both sides and the number of snaps he plays. He's on the field constantly. I've said it a couple times this year, even pound for pound, maybe the best player there is in Arkansas. I mean, when you consider everything that he does, and running back, linebacker, returning punts. I mean, he's really good. And that's the kind of guy, especially in the 4A level or 3A level, that can, you know, be a real game breaker. And to have a guy like that, they make a big difference when you have somebody like that at that level. I want to pick Boonville in the game. That's kind of been my favorite all year long to win the championship. So I think I'd stick with that, but this is going to be a real tough game for them. This may be.
That's it. Oh, it's tipped. It's intercepted.
I don't know what happened there. Something just randomly some video just randomly popped up on my screen. I'm sorry
if
about
they,
that.
If they win the championship, they may look at this game as the toughest one of the whole year.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is going to be one of those that you're just going to hate to see. You hate to see a winner and loser, especially this kind of time of year, because it means a season is over. But I think this is going to be one of those that you look at the end of it and you just hate to see, because it comes down right to the wire. Maybe the last one that has the ball, but then I say that and it could end up being a defensive battle, knowing my kind of luck and my kind of history with that. But another matchup I really like right under them on the bracket, Glen Rose. Now, Glen Rose, nobody wants to see them right now. They have won their first two playoff games 88-0. Just absolute pure dominance. And they've now got Junction City, you know, a team, Nate, that has been a powerhouse over the last two decades, but really over the past couple of seasons took a drop off. Devin Ball, former Junction City great, comes over. He was DC at Camden Fairview. And they've had, as expected, they're a young team. They've had some ups and downs, but come into the playoffs, you smoke Manila, then you win that shootout with Walnut Ridge, 63-50. Now you've got a chance to really make a statement against a team that really has been the most impressive thus far of the playoffs. You can't argue with that just based on what they've done with the shutouts, especially. The only team to do that. Then you've also got Salem-Mansfield. Mansfield, very battle-tested team. I talked about that, to watch out for that game. That Hoxie, they had plenty to prove, even though they've been undefeated. But Mansfield goes on a long road trip and makes a big defensive stand to win a defensive battle, 14-13. This one, I like to call it the Cinderella game, just because Mansfield is the lowest remaining seed, the number three out of the 3A1. And then also the final matchup, you've got Bismarck going to Prescott. You know, Bismarck, it's kind of with their situation, you know, I think that they got Charleston probably at the right time. Charleston just has – they've been a young team this year, also endured some injuries, just really tough for them. They had some good things happen, but just some really tough things going. Of course, you got past Hackett, but I just don't know – I don't know that Bismarck – I've seen them on film once this year, and I just don't know that they're going to match up with that speed of Prescott. So I just have a really tough time believing that will happen. But the Salem-Mansfield, Glen Rose, Junction City, I think those two have a little bit better chance. Well, actually, I say that. Probably more so Salem-Mansfield. I'm just not sure that Junction City, their youth, is quite ready for this experience and overall team speed of Glen Rose. Salem-Mansfield, though, again, I'm not particularly putting Salem on upset alert, but I think that is going to be a really tough matchup for a Mansfield team that is extremely battle-tested and doesn't care where they play.
Yeah, you know, I really thought Hoxie would win and then beat Salem. And so that's a big win for Mansfield to go up there. But I think that comes in playing that league, you know, seeing Charleston, Boonville. You've got – that's a tough conference. So – and they did well. And they had a good year. I think, again, you know, they've got a – I think they've got a good chance to win. You know, a lot of people don't even know where Salem is. You know, they don't in Arkansas, but they're making a name for themselves. I mean, the more they win, I think you're having to kind of take notice of them. And that's probably a rallying cry for them, is that we're undefeated and people aren't picking us to win. So, I mean, you know, and we're talking about Mansfield. That's probably something they're putting on their bulletin board, but you know, the ball's in their court. It's at their house, their place. Mansfield has to come a long, long way to get there. A lot of the advantages line up with them. When you look at Junction City, you know, I talked about this week that Garen Rockwell at Lakeside, if you don't have him on your coach of the year ballot, you're remiss. Well, you maybe need to have Devin Ball on the coach of the year ballot too. We're talking about a statewide all-class coach of the year. Both those guys belong on that ballot. I'm not saying that they would win the award, but you should consider them, right? I mean, they both orchestrated big turnarounds, unexpected Cinderella seasons. If Junction City is able to beat Glen Rose, man, that'd be a huge win. There have been some big wins in Junction City history, but it would be a signature win for him as he's trying to revitalize their program and make his own name. You know, they're not going to back down to him, but, and I also like what Glenn Rose has done with Stephen Keener. You know, he's carried on the tradition and they're playing really well. I mean, gosh, you look at those first two games, unbelievable. And then I think they're a state championship contender.
Yes, definitely.
And then Prescott, no one's more athletic than them. Nobody is deeper. They have all those things working for them for a title run. I mean, that's one thing that nobody can really match up. It's just a matter of them executing, but they have the talent. They have some of those intangibles that the other teams don't have.
And last but not least, in Class 2A, East Poinsett County, they get their second straight trip to the semifinals, 34-20 over Conway Christian. Carlisle also trying to get – they're in the semifinals again, trying to get to the finals for the second year in a row. They edge Hector 27-20. Mark Tree, the magic continues for the Indians, 28-14 over previously undefeated Murfreesboro, and then Bigelow 34-14 over Desert. So Nate Bigelow has gotten over that. That was really talking about them over the past couple of seasons, and just about anything I write, it's been about getting over that hump and getting past the second round. They had that really tough ending on that call, or I guess no call or whatever it was, in 2021 against Hazen. Can't even remember the situation now, but then of course last year got bounced early in the first round. Now they are playing and going to host Mark Tree, the hottest team in Class 2A, really. I would say especially they're the lowest seed remaining. You got the two number ones in EPC and Carlisle playing in Northeast Arkansas this week. And then you've got Mark Tree, who has made all these road trips. And first off, I got to apologize to Mark Tree because I didn't add them in our preview for the playoffs, because I truly believed that I knew they were a good team. Known that since before the season. But I just didn't think that they were going to be able to get past Hazen. I felt like Hazen was ready to defend their title. I was proven very, very wrong once I got to that game. Mark Tree certainly wanted to be there a lot more than Hazen did, or at least that's kind of the vibe that I got. And this team does not care. I mentioned about a team a second ago, I think it was Mansfield, did not care where they play. You look at Mark Tree, Nate, and I got really curious, and I thought about their road trip to Hazen, and then of course the really, really long one, even longer, to Murfreesboro last week, and then the Bigelow. And I thought, okay, I'm going to add up their entire playoff run, and let's just say that they get to Little Rock, round trip, their trips to Hazen, again, Murfreesboro and Bigelow, and then, of course, Little Rock if they make the finals, 1,262 miles round trip that their playoff run will be. So, look, again, we knew that this team had the talent. It was really about could they just get there, could they get past the mentality aspect of it. Nobody's really believed in them. And I think, again, more so, I don't know that it's people haven't believed in them. I think that it's just you looked at their draw at first, and you felt like, okay, Hazen's coming off this loss to Carlisle. They're probably – and Mark Tree, this is the first time – I believe Sam Lane from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette posted via X, whatever you want to call it, that this is the first time since 1972, so over 50 years, that Mark Tree has been to the semifinals. So and that's, again, the mental aspect of it, that none of these kids, their parents, really very many people in that town – don't know what it's like to go that deep in the playoffs. So it's just kind of like, okay, could you finally, kind of like what I was saying about Bigelow a second ago, could you finally get over that hump and get there? And Mark Tree finally. So I love these two matchups right here. You've got a great defense in Carlisle, a team that I think a lot of people wrote off once J.J. Sullivan left, once they promoted Gary Wilson. You know, nothing against him. Just, again, it's a new head coach. You lose one of the more decorated backs in state history, and they're going up against a potent offense in EPC. And then you've got two that are really sort of new to deep playoff runs in Mark Tree and Bigelow.
Yeah. Mark Tree, you go back to that EPC game they had. What if they win that game? They're a three seed, but they win that, where they would have been a two, and you know, EPC really good, and a lot of people think they can win, you know, against Carlisle, but Mark Tree, it was a double overtime game. Either team could have won that. That kind of stuck with me when we were looking at the brackets, but I was with you. I know they are fantastic and put up a lot of points, but I didn't think they could go to Hayes. And that was, when you looked at the first round matchup, that was real intriguing because you knew that they were good because they play with EPC like that. But you thought, well, Hayes is the defending champ and they're going to come ready to play. And then you were there and saw that was not the case. I think Mark Tree is very dangerous. They put up points, athletic, and they're battle tested. That conference with EPC, Desark, you've been in some dogfights.
Yeah, Cross County didn't even make the playoffs, and they were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've had to fight for every inch they've gotten, and then the EPC game. It was just probably one of the games of the year in Arkansas. Regular season, you know, double overtime, two good teams. Somebody had to lose it. Somebody was going to get a bad draw in the playoffs, we thought, you know, but it's worked out okay for them. And, you know, Bigelow, like you said, they've worked for this. They wanted to get a chance to go to a championship game, and now they have it. They're in the semifinal round. It's hard to pick against Mark Tree, though, really, really for me, because of what they've gone through, you know, and in some of these games. But then on the other hand, Bigelow's undefeated. So something's going to have to give in this game. Both these games are going to be entertaining. And then you've got EPC playing Carlisle, and Carlisle been in the state championship game. EPC, that's one thing that's been missing for them. They've been good. They've been able to get there. Dennis Gaines is, you know, there's some great running backs in Arkansas, but he compares very well with all of them, even in 7A running backs. I mean, his rushing totals were top five in the nation last year. So very talented team there. Both these games, small town venues will be packed. Will be a lot of people traveling these games because it's, you know, during the holiday week and they can get off work and get there. So should be very electric atmospheres.
And I think three of these, I know for sure EPC is looking for their first ever appearance in the state finals. You look, Brandon Powell, their head coach, he took the softball team to their first ever finals appearance in 2022. Now he's trying to do it with the football squad. I don't know if Mark Tree or Bigelow, that's another thing. So on our list this week of trying to figure out history, we need to figure out how many. I think Mark Tree and Bigelow have never been. I don't think either has a state title or have even been, but I don't know that for sure. Okay. I definitely have to dig. So we got to figure that out this week too. So those three deals. But of course, you can check out all the content on SB Live, or not SBLive.com, scorebooklive.com/Arkansas. We still got the old name and the domain at least. And also too, we talked about volleyball season and pub that all year. Jeff Halpern did a great job. Go check out the postseason honors list. He got the player of the year, newcomer of the year, coach of the year, all that, along with the all-state teams with all their players and stats. So really good job with that on there. A lot of detail in it as we close out volleyball season. Also, too, we've got these basketball previews that are continuously coming out. I know that basketball's already started, but you know, there's still plenty of season to play. This is really just kind of the early stages where teams are kind of filling themselves out. So we still release these accordingly kind of each week. We got, I guess, 4A boys that will be coming out sometime here in the next one that we have. But also, too, check out the playoff scenario, not scenarios now. It's actually all set in stone. But you can keep up with all the brackets on scorebooklive.com/Arkansas. Just go to the football tab. And then check in under the playoffs, and you can look at each class there. I know that we're not going to have an 8-man football podcast this week. Aaron actually got married, so a big congrats to him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he got married on Saturday, so a big, big congrats to him on his big life change. And I know that he's got plenty of things to do that he does not need to bother with football this week. So we won't have that. Of course, we had
What in the world was he doing trying getting married during the playoffs?
Man, I don't. I think it just. I think it kind of worked out that way with their schedules. I think I messed with him about that way back when he got engaged, and but it worked out good because, of course, with the whole deal with Strong and Augusta. And Augusta is going to play Spring Hill this week to figure out who's going to play Rector in the finals on November 30th. That's all we've really got going on in the 8-man ranks this week, so kind of slow in that regard. But I'll have the report out with the top performers and, you know, kind of just a little bit of an update on that with what happened with a Strong Augusta game with the whole forfeiture and everything. Just for those that missed it or needed a little refresher, but – other than that, I guess so. Nate, we'll have boots on the ground. You'll be at Benton. I'll be at CAC. Jeff will be at Bryant, and then Steve is going to be at Fayetteville. Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
So
everybody's going to be out in force.
We'll be out and having. We'll get plenty of turkey and get ourselves fat and happy on Thursday and sleep it off, and then go out and enjoy some great football and some hopefully cool, crisp weather on Friday. So getting down to the end, guys, definitely try and get out. And of course, you can also, if you can't get out, catch a stream. There's plenty of streams out there that people do a great job around the state that give us opportunities to get eyes if you can't be there in person. But not very many Friday nights left. Just got a few you got the playoffs for semifinals for the 2 and then 5 through 7A. And then, of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the quarterfinals for 3 and 4A. So we're running out of these Friday nights in 2023, so get out and see them. But again, you can check out all the content at scorebooklive.com/Arkansas for all football stuff. And then again, too, we got the basketball that's coming out here. But for Nate Olson and all of us here at SB Live, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next week.